everybody.
And we are here, and we hit 10,000 subscribers.
He just noticed, yeah, and I just noticed, because I haven't been on YouTube all day, mostly because I've been working on some other shit on my other computer.
I noticed it, and then Badger noticed it in the comments. But so that means we're a bronze channel now. Back in the good old days of YouTube, they would have sent us a bronze plaque, but they don't do that anymore.
I don't need a bronze. I don't have anywhere to put a bronze plaque, honestly.
You could probably buy one.
Where the fuck am I going to put that?
Probably put a bronze.
I'll make my own if I want one that bad.
Probably buy one.
I don't need one that bad.
Yeah.
I know. Good. It's like now it feels so weird because we've been. It seemed like it took so long. Like to
it's
get
it's all
there.
YouTube-y in here now.
It's all YouTube-y.
Yeah, it's all YouTube-y in here. Like it's a real channel.
God, we wouldn't want that to happen.
Yeah,
I like our kind of cantankerous sort of like
patched
together sort of show.
They still complain though, every day.
Yeah, but like people are gonna complain about it. You know what? I think some people are only happy if they're complaining about something.
I mean, the big shows. We do the big shows. Half that show, we're pretty fucking trashed,
and
we get through it real well.
Hey, I like some shows like that. Have you seen like the guys from Red Letter Media that do what the fuck is the name of that show? Half in the Bag. And they usually do like two movie reviews, like new movies, and they usually get like drunker and drunker like as it goes on. And same with beer and board games. They usually it's funnier like the drunker trash. They get like the longer the show goes on because they're all like yelling at each other.
Yeah, and there's four or five of them, so there's more people to play off of.
Yeah.
It's hard when it's just two people.
I know.
Especially when they've just lived together for a fucking decade. A lot of funny shit is already, we already said. He said that shit a long time ago.
Yeah, we have to keep coming up with new shit all the time.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, like, heard it. Yeah,
sometimes anyway. I pull a good one out, though.
You start fucking
busting up and shit.
you still got. There's still some good funny
when
shit.
When I say
in there.
Some crazy shit.
Yeah, that's sure.
Yeah.
Mango says that's all part of the fun of the channel. We all get trashed. That's what I mean. Yeah. We're all getting trashed together.
Yeah.
And like
and
I said,
trying to fucking prevent yourself from becoming an alky.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have happened already.
I kind of feel already. Like, I mean, we drink a lot, but
we're
it's
so
not
old.
Like...
We would have been alcoholics already.
It's not like I'm in here in the day, like, being like, man, I need a drink, man, I need... I don't think about it until, like, and I don't even think about it every evening.
No.
It's like, but usually if I'm going to, like, you know, sit back and watch a horror movie or something, then yeah, I'll have a
drink.
We
really only get trashed once a week.
Pretty
much. It's on the show.
Yeah. No. I mean, because sometimes, like, in the evening, sometimes we'll have, like, a drink, like, while we're
like
watching
one.
A movie or something, but usually
I had
not.
I had one like that.
Well, like, I had a drink last night.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I didn't get drunk.
No. I just had one, and then, just like, drink. I just had some water, and then I went to sleep, because we were watching this movie.
Yeah.
No, actually, we weren't. I was actually reading last night. We watched this movie Sunday night, because what happened was we were actually supposed to go to Memento Mori last night.
Yeah.
And then...
Man, it's a good thing we did.
Yeah, I was... Well, what happened was I ended up getting, like, this super, super rush, like, graphic design job, which I really... I'm almost done with it. I have, like, one more page. It's, like, this 8-page newsletter or something. So it's, like, I still have one more page to do on that because I told her I'd have it done by, like, first thing tomorrow morning. So I really had to do that. And the dudes came and pressure washed the house this morning, like, early. And I was like, yeah, they're going to be waking us up at the ass crack of dawn, and I don't want to have to be hung over and be like, hey, dudes, I want pressure washing the house, okay? And, like, you know what I mean? So, and I was just, like, so sleepy because I woke up at 5 a.m., and I was like, you know what? It kind of sucks we can't go, but let's not go. And now I'm kind of glad that we didn't because I had so much fucking work I had to do today. And I just didn't want to be hung over all day.
The pressure washers came. I had to supervise, make sure they pressure washed the damn driveway.
Oh, yeah, because they were supposed to do the
driveway. You haven't seen it yet, have you?
No, I haven't.
Looks good.
No, I've been, like,
really good.
I have had my face in that stupid laptop, like, doing the fucking shit over there.
Yeah, they had
it does look good.
Yeah,
it's been several years. I think it's been, like, 6 or 7 years since we had a pressure wash last time.
Yeah, the Housing Commission came told me to do it.
Yeah, they'll whine if you don't. We have the HOA.
Yeah. And it just had a little bit of moss growing.
If you don't cut your grass
in
or wash your
damn,
house or whatever, they get all fucking buttered about it.
They're
not as bad as they used to be because I think they have like some
new management
in there now.
Yeah.
And we know them, like, or you know them.
Yeah.
So it's like they're not like too,
no,
you know, BTK about
it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So let's talk about this shit here. It looks like everybody's here.
Let's talk about this movie. This is a movie that I had, this came out in 2019. It's called Depraved. I didn't hear a great deal about it But I saw it come up on Hulu. All I knew about it was that it was written, directed, edited, etc. by Larry Fessenden, which I, you know, he's like a cool dude. I'll talk a little bit about him in a minute. And that it was kind of like a modern updating of the Frankenstein story, which I was like, well, that sounds pretty cool. You know what I mean? I like Frankenstein stories as much as the next person. I know a lot of them, you know, don't come out all that well. But so I thought I would give this one a spin.
Hold on 1 second.
What's that?
People in the comments. See, this is Roy from England. He said, congratulations from England. Still thank listening you, to your old you. Stuff. So funny. I watched Blackula last night after your review. Brilliant. Yeah, you should see the sequel to that, too. You should see Scream, Blackula, Scream. It's even
I
better.
I might like Scream, Blackula, yeah. Scream slightly better than yeah. the first one. It's although better. They're both excellent.
Yeah, they're both real good, but that second one's even better.
I like the second one a little bit better because I think because it has all that voodoo shit going yeah. on, and I love voodoo shit.
Yeah, they bring Blackula back from the dead.
Yeah, yeah.
A voodoo priest does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And then he turns them into vampires. The thing is, though, is that it's still the short cut. There was a long cut of that. There was a bunch of stuff that was cut out that inspired Anne Rice to do a bunch to it inspired her a lot about the Vampire Chronicles. You know what I mean? About how you
yeah.
turn a person into a vampire and make him your slave just so you could have his house. That's what he does to that black dude.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm a slave. He goes, yes. They cut that shit out. I guess they didn't like the slavery references in it or something, you know. But I saw the long played version, and fucking Mama Walde enslaved black people and turned them into vampires. But they cut that part out. Well, he does it. It's just that he said he was doing it, and they cut that part out.
That dude is like so fucking epic in that.
Yeah,
one of my favorite vampire portrayals in any movie. Because he's got the best fucking voice. He was on Star Trek too, obviously. But yeah, so. Louis said, I forgot what show Tom and Jenny were really smashed. The show went off the rails toward the end. I think that was the Collar Bomb show.
Yeah.
Remember the one that we talked about, the Collar Bomb case?
Well, we were pretty smashed in the last one. I walked off the show at the very end and said, fuck, I'm going to get some
I'm going to go make tacos.
And I didn't come back.
He left and made tacos on the last
show. She goes back to go get me, and you're not coming back to the show? And I was like, I'm eating. I says, all right, I'll come back. I came back to the show and eat and then shut it down and walked off. That was just the last one.
We did. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Somebody said we're functional alcoholics.
Not really.
Well, maybe. Like I said, but I always kind of feel like, because I knew someone that was an alcoholic. I'm not going to say who it was, but.
Yeah, and there's a big difference. A friend of mine was alcoholic.
And yeah, and I mean, this person would like, couldn't go anywhere without carrying booze around like in their purse. You know what I'm saying?
The acid test is if you get the shakes.
Yeah.
If you're not. You know, if it's a real functional alcoholic, if they go a couple days without alcohol, they start shaking.
And, yeah.
So we don't do that.
No. Like I said, sometimes I just like to have a drink in the evening if I'm watching a movie. I don't really like to get super smashed anymore because I know I'll feel like crap the next day.
Yeah.
So I try. But on the show, sometimes we're having a good time and I lose track. So, you know, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So yeah, this movie. So like I said, Larry Fessenden, if you don't know, he's actually a writer, director, producer. He writes horror games. He writes horror movies. He helps out like a lot of other indie horror filmmakers. He's also a character actor. He's been in a shit ton of like horror movies. And so he just seems like an all around cool horror dude, like somebody that's like kind of a mover and the shaker or whatever in the fucking indie horror community. And this, I think, is his first movie that he's, like, directed for 6 years. Because I think he's been, like, helping other directors out with their projects. But this is the first one he's done. So this is basically, like I said, it's sort of like an updating of the Frankenstein story. I want to call it... I maybe want to call it Hipster Frankenstein, but that seems like a little glib. I'm just saying it's because... It's basically, there's this guy named Henry... And he was a combat medic, and he has PTSD because of all the people he couldn't save or whatever. And so him and his friend, John Polidori, if you don't know who that is, the guy that wrote The Vampire from back in the day. Hmm. And, you know, he was Lord Byron's physician at the Haunted Summer, all of that. So him and his friend Polidori, who is the financier, he's like kind of the brains and also kind of the money behind the operation. So Polidori has invented this drug, I think it's called Rad-X or Rap-X or something like that. And then Henry is like this genius surgeon. So the two of them are conspiring. They have this big like abandoned warehouse lab that's like, I think it's in Brooklyn somewhere. And they're basically like finding bodies and stitching them together and doing the whole like Frankenstein monster thing. So when this movie starts, you get like a few minutes with this couple who have just moved in together. They're kind of having a little bit of an argument about fatherhood. I guess she wants to have kids and he does not ready yet and blah, blah, blah. So they're like having a fight about that. And so he's going to go back to his apartment. And while he's on his way back to his apartment, he gets set upon by an unknown assailant in the street and is stabbed to death. And after that, he gets dragged back to this warehouse of horrors where he... I don't think, like, because the guy that plays the monster is not the same dude from the beginning. So I think only that dude's brain was... Because later on, they show, like, you know, him getting stitched together from, like, a whole bunch of different parts. Because that guy's, like, a lot taller than the first guy. But I think that his brain, like, gets popped into this monster. So when the monster wakes up, Henry's, like, super excited because this is... I guess, presumably, he's done, like, a bunch of experiments before and they have failed. So this is, like, the first dude that's actually woken up and, like, started walking around and shit. So then, like, for the first act of the movie is basically Henry being, like, super jazzed about, you know, bringing essentially this person back from the dead and sort of trying to teach him to be human again. He teaches him to talk, he teaches him to read, he teaches him, like, you know, all that other kind of stuff. And just as in Frankenstein, the novel, things go wildly off the rails. One thing that I did like about this movie was that, unlike a lot of Frankenstein adaptations, this one, it's still a horror movie, but it concentrates more on the kind of philosophical kind of stuff, a lot of which was actually in the novel.
That's
so
what I was gonna say.
So it kind of went a lot more in that direction, which I thought was really interesting because you don't really see a lot of adaptations that do that sort of thing.
It's very Mary Shelley.
It is. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Was it a great horror movie? I didn't think so.
I don't even know if I would
really
call
movie.
It a horror. It
more
has
like
horror.
Sci-fi.
It has horror aspects. It has sci-fi aspects.
Yeah.
A lot of it was kind of like, it was almost like more psychological horror because a lot of the horror came from you feeling bad for this kid at the beginning. I think whose name was Alex. This guy who just got stabbed walking down the street, like, for no fucking reason. And then his brain gets popped into this monster. And he sort of remembers stuff. Like, he sort of remembers his girlfriend. And he, like, kind of remembers things. But not entirely. So as he just, like, keeps learning things. And then, like, the kind of triangle that develops between him and Henry and Polidori. Because Henry and Polidori have, like, different... you know, ways that they want to approach essentially parenting this monster that they've made. I mean, because Polidori is just like, I'm going to take him out of the town. He gives him cocaine. He takes him to a strip club. He does like all this other kind of stuff. He's like, live your life, man. You know what I mean? So it's almost kind of like the two part, like business partners are having like these kind of squabbles about they're not bringing up the monster correctly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like, seems like the main conflict of the movie. But I did like that they actually went a lot into... So I think it's, like, less a horror movie. It's just... It's really sad. Like, I found it, like, really sad. Because you find... You're, like... You feel really bad for Adam, like, the monster. Because, you know, he didn't, like, have any choice about this. He doesn't... And he still kind of remembers shit. And he kind of remembers that, you know, this isn't right. And... He doesn't know how to, like, be a person, really.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
Don't expect universal, Frank. Universal
No. It's nothing like the movie.
It kind of reminds
me. It's more like the novel, really.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of, it reminded me a little bit more of the Frankenstein that had Robert De Niro playing Frankenstein in it.
A little bit. Although that movie was not great.
It wasn't that good. But this one was actually more, I would say this one's more like a little bit on the fun side almost, in a way. It wasn't a bad movie. But
yeah,
it kind of had, it was kind of good-hearted in certain parts of it. You know what I mean? I mean, weird shit happened, but you just got to see it for yourself. You got to judge it. You got to judge it for
yourself. Yeah, I mean, I really
you
did.
You got to be in the mood for it,
I think that, yeah, and keep in mind, it's long for a horror movie. I think it's almost 2 hours long. I think it's 1 hour 54 minutes or something like that, which is a little long for a horror movie. And like I said, it's not, you know, don't expect something like the Universal Monster movies or yeah. like, you know, where it's alive. Don't expect anything like that. And that those are cool. I like those movies. But this is much more like a philosophical treatise, like that's much more like the novel is. Right.
What is consciousness?
What is consciousness? What
makes you you?
Yeah. Like and like, and you know, it kind of like comes at those kind of bigger questions about, you know, the implications.
Also, what's good and what's evil? That kind
Of like shit that would happen, right. like if you actually did this, like actually right. like sewed a person together and popped somebody's brain in there and like brought them back to life. You know, what is your responsibility toward this creature? What is
this? That's what the original was more about.
Which is more like what the original was. So, so this is actually, even though it's modern, even it's updated, it's set in Brooklyn, and there's obviously a lot of, you know, modern flourishes, and it's much more grounded in realism.
Shelley got all this when she, you know, she was a kid, basically, when she wrote this.
She was 18, I think.
Yeah, she was having a competition.
It's amazing.
She was having a competition with her brother, with her husband and somebody else. I don't remember what
Lord
it was.
Byron.
Yeah.
And John Polidori, who I just mentioned.
Yeah, who could write the best horror story.
The best ghost story, yeah.
And she wrote this one. And what inspired her was down in the universities, they were taking dead people and shocking them.
Yeah.
Dead bodies and shocking them, and they would move.
Yeah.
They were trying to figure out the nervous system. So
Galvanism,
yeah. So, you know, people were wondering whether or not they could maybe accidentally bring somebody back to life by doing that. You know? No, you can't. But back in the 1700s...
Well, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
Right. I mean, it seemed like...
What was that, late 1700s? Or, I think it was late 1700s.
No,
1800s. 1800s.
Yeah.
What year are the 1800s?
Because, well, she came up with the idea in
1816.
1816?
Okay.
Because that was the Haunted Summer. I've been wanting to do a show about that. I did a board game based on it.
It's an old story.
Yeah.
It's a very old story.
But weirdly modern. Kind of like the first sci-fi story. But I think that people that have, you know, because the Frankenstein story is like so ingrained in popular culture, mostly because of the Universal movies and all the subsequent adaptations, I think people, when they read the novel, because we read the book in high school, when you read the novel, people are surprised at how like philosophical it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it goes a lot into, you know, how much responsibility does the doctor have like for creating that? And in a way, they kind of like hammered that a lot in this movie where... Essentially, the two guys who created this person, the guy that made the drug and gave the funding, and the surgeon that actually stitched it all together, the two of them were like surrogate parents to this monster. And like they had like wildly different ideas about how he should be, you know, brought into society because they've just mostly wanted to make money off the shit. You know what I mean? Like off the drug and off the technique or whatever. So they were trying to like essentially groom him for like a public presentation, like look what we did, you know what I mean? So they go a lot into that kind of thing too. So like I said, don't go into it expecting it to be a horror movie per se. It does have horror elements to it. There is some gore, which I think is all practical effects. I was a big fan. I know some other reviewers didn't like it, but I was actually kind of a fan of like all the cool the weird like neon visual stuff they did like outside there where they were kind of like showing, you know, thought processes like synapses and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of cool. Like they did that like quite a lot as a motif like during the movie. And I thought that was kind of neat. But
yeah, Zach mentioned that she did it for around 1815 because that volcano erupted.
Yeah, it was 1816 was the year without a summer because that volcano erupted and then like it not... you know,
it fucked up the weather.
Like everything got cold. Like they didn't like all the fucking crops died and all this other kind of shit.
Her and her husband, you know, they had money and they had time to sit around and get high and tell stories and write books.
They went to the Lord Byron's place on Lake Geneva.
Yeah.
John Polidori.
I think they smoked opium a lot.
I think they did too.
Smoked a lot of opium. They probably were fucking with weed too, because weed was around.
Yeah,
I don't know what they called
it. The story was they go to the house, and the Villa Diodati is what it's called. Yeah. Which is actually what the game I designed was called. But it was her. It was Percy Shelley. They were not married at the time, but they married later.
Yeah.
Lord Byron, John Polidori, who was a writer, but also Lord Byron's doctor, and then there was also Claire Claremont, who was Mary Shelley's half sister, I think.
Yeah, and there was
she was sleeping with Lord Byron too.
Yeah, there was all this big fuck festivals and shit going.
Pretty
on.
Much.
They were that was a weird scene in itself. They were like little, they were like a proto goth scene, I guess.
Well, they were. They were very, yeah, they were very progressive for the time. Like, they were very, you know, they were all up in the literary thing. And, like, Mary Shelley's mom was, like, a big, like, advocate of, like, women's rights, you know, even back in the fucking early 1800s. Yeah. You know what I mean? So there was a lot of that kind of stuff. And so they go to the house, and then they usually would, like, go outside. They go do rowboats and fishing and shit like that. But because the weather was so shitty and, like, it rained, like, all the time. Like, it was just, like, these torrential storms. So they were stuck inside. So basically, they were probably allegedly smoking opium. They were reading to each other from this book called Phantasmagoria, which was, like, German ghost stories. And then Lord Byron had the idea, hey, let's all write a ghost story. Because we can't go outside and do anything. And so we're kind of stuck in the house. So they all wrote stuff. And Mary Shelley's was kind of the only one that... I mean, John Polidori's The Vampire, that was kind of influential because this was, you know, way before Dracula. But Mary Shelley was the only one that really made any kind of, like, lasting impression. But yeah, so like I said, if you keep all those things in mind, and like I said, if you've seen any of Larry Fessenden's other stuff, I don't think, you know, anything that he does in this will be that much of a surprise to you. But it is kind of like a slower burn. It's more like a philosophical, kind of like a sad sort of story. But it is much closer, I guess, closer to the spirit of the book than a lot of the other movie adaptations of Frankenstein have been, I guess is what I want to say.
Zach, you know, I want to know if they even had weed back then. Yeah, they did have weed. I think they called it hemp.
Yeah, they might have called it something different. I'd have to look it up, but...
But I know that cowboys smoked it. They got it from Mexicans a lot. That was a Mexican thing. But it did make its way into the Union. You know, if I remember correctly, they were smoking it, you know, in the New England area, you know.
Thank you, Mango.
During the colonial period, if I remember correctly. This is before the existence of the United States. They were up there smoking it.
Yeah.
You know, there was no laws against any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they didn't really think
to. They smoked whatever.
They didn't really think to make laws against it until later.
Yeah. And really, if you ask me, most states illegalized weed. This is back in the early 1900s, and it was because Mexicans were importing it.
Yeah.
And they were exporting it from Mexico into the United States, and it was kind of competing with shit like booze and other things. So it didn't have anything to do with safety.
Yeah.
They would just ban something to try to keep money from flowing.
Well, it was just kind of like...
out of somebody's pocket into somebody else's pocket.
From what I read, that it was just like all the shit that came out about absinthe, about it being like a hallucinogen and stuff like that was
false.
Was the wine producers.
Yeah.
Like, because they were mad that absinthe was like taking a piece of their pie, like over in France. Thank you, Mango. Also, yeah, he says, talking about The Haunted Summer, Ken Russell's Gothic is indeed a very good movie, and it is based on that exact thing. It might be on Tubi at this moment. It's in my topic box, like to my movie topic box to talk about. There was another one, too, called Haunted Summer that I think might have had Julian Sands in it, and maybe Natasha Richardson, I want to say. I can't remember. I've seen them both. I like Gothic better just because it's weirder, but they're both pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
Colin Firth might have been in Haunted
Summer. Yeah, all this drug prohibition stuff, it started off as fake. It's still fake. They're just trying to make money off of it. And it was a lot of that shit was made by real religious people that are dead now, like my grandmother's generation. And they're still around. And they're trying to make money off of it from the law enforcement and the prison angles. They made a whole prison industry on it, which is part of the fucking United States' problems. They need to break down prohibition thinking. You know, there isn't a problem with that. There really was never a problem with any of that. The people who take drugs are going to take them whether they're illegal or not. You're just giving money to drug cartels.
Yeah.
You're making them rich. But during the time that there were times where weed would be illegal, but they were injecting heroin. Oh, that's legal. You can have that.
I know.
Didn't make any fucking sense. You know?
It's medicine.
Yeah. So it didn't have anything to do with safety. But that's how they would sell the law to the people to get them to pass it. Oh, we have to keep it out of the hands of kids. Kids weren't taking that shit.
I'm still very entertained by movies like Reefer Madness, though. Because it's like, obviously the people that made this movie have never smoked weed because the people in that movie are like not acting
nothing,
anything
nothing
like
to do with, a person nothing to do with weed.
Nothing like that.
Nothing. It was all for economic reasons that they did that. They didn't want the competition from other things. The booze industry wanted to keep the money dead into their fucking court.
Well, yeah, it's like, we want everybody getting hammered.
Yeah, and cocaine was just legal for most of America's history. And then out in the open all the way up into the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, it was illegal in the 80s, but not real illegal. You weren't going to do serious time for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't until like the late 80s where they started to really crack down on that kind of shit. They cracked down on that during a crack epidemic.
Cracking on.
Which was, that was poor man's cocaine, you know. You could, 1 pound of cocaine could make 10,000 pounds of fucking crack.
Can't have the poor having a good time, can you?
No.
Nope.
And then what's funny is that, like, the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, said, no, don't crack down on that. He just, it'll run its course and it'll go away on its own. They'll get tired of it. Crack down on it, it made it worse. You know what I mean? They just started killing each other over it and fucking destroyed lives. The way you deal with that shit is just drug treatment. And just, you can tolerate it. It will go, just like any fads, they go in and out of style.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, you had guys that were whole generations of little scenes inside of the United States where it was just heroin junkies. Most of them are dead now. You know, but they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do it, mostly didn't do anything to anybody. They just sat around and slept.
Yeah, which, you know.
You know.
More people should do that.
Yeah.
Leave the rest of us alone. Well,
yeah. They weren't really known as being dangerous or anything, you know. Yeah, it fucked them up, but you shouldn't fuck with it.
You know,
making it illegal did not stop people from fucking with it. They're going to take it, whether it's illegal or not.
Well, and then sometimes making it illegal makes it more alluring.
Makes it more alluring. And then it makes people kill each other over it. Because,
that too.
Oh, I'm not doing this 20 years. Oh, fuck you. They start fighting back, fighting the cops, shooting at them. And they kill each other over drug money. It's just fucking stupid. Real dumb.
It is.
And then the DEA advised the Senate not to crack down on any of that shit. That was all back during the 80s.
Yeah.
And they said, just, you should be lenient on it. It'll come and go. They were right. Instead, they did the fucking war on drugs things. But you know what? They knew it would do that. It just made them a lot of money.
Well, yeah, that's
made them a lot of money. Big prison contracts. They got involved in that. You know, Halliburton. And they got involved with fucking expanding law enforcement. Big money in that. So it just made a whole industry off the misery of others. That's what they did.
It's the American way.
Yeah. It's predatory. It's a predatory and corrupt system.
So, yeah, we went from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein to drugs. Right. But, you know, it kind of tracks. All right, so I guess that'll do it for this review. Once again, I have a movie lined up to watch this evening so we can review it tomorrow. So, as always, thanks everybody for stopping by and hanging out with us for a little bit. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow.